appreciate the songs been sung this morning, and appreciate getting to be in the Lord's house. I'm glad we got a place to go to.
Amen.
When things in the world just seem to be overwhelming, things in the world just seem to be all against us, we've got a place of refuge, amen, in the house of God.
Amen.
And, you know, those songs, I wouldn't take nothing from a journey now, and got more to go to heaven for than I did yesterday. Those are true songs.
Yes,
sir. Amen. Me and Jerry, he talked about us being on the road together a long time, and he's been on the road about twice as long as I have, but, you know, I've been through some things, seen some things, just like the song says. And, you know, I began to think as I was singing that song, you know, sometimes if we compare it to our real lives today, we go through a job and we work in the workforce, and we try to get to where we get to the point to where we can have either tenure if you're a teacher, or where we can retire and, you know, live our lives and get what the benefits that we have worked for all our lives. And sometimes it gets hard along the way. Along the way within the job, you get to think to yourself, boy, if I could just hold on just a little bit longer, I'll be able to retire. All this good stuff will be happening, and I'll be able to settle down for a little while finally. And if we could just compare that to our lives as a Christian, amen, if we just wait just a little bit longer, amen, it won't be too long before, amen, retirement will happen. We'll be able to pack up our bags here on this earth and just leave everything behind. We can leave all our troubles behind. We can leave all our worries behind, all our sorrows and our frustrations behind. And we'll be able, Lord, to be able to get to heaven one day after a while and be able to say we've endured the race. Amen. We fought the good fight. Hey, man, and we kept the faith, and God has laid up a crown of righteousness for us. Amen. And I'm glad today that I could say, amen, I've been on the journey a long time. And 20-something years, amen, if you've been on a job 20-something years, there's just no, doesn't make any sense, amen, to just take up and quit. Amen, you've got a lot of stuff you've worked for, and you've got more to look forward to than you did yesterday. And I'm glad today that, amen, I've been on this journey for a long time, and amen, there just ain't no stop, and ain't no place to turn back around. Amen, there's too many things at stake. There's too many things that I've worked hard for. Amen, and I don't want to give up now. Amen. Yeah, the devil will kick you. He'll try to throw you around. He'll try his best to stumble you up. Hey, but amen, I'm glad today that God is greater, amen, in me than he that's in the world. Amen, and the devil ain't got no right, amen, to the treasure waiting for me on the other side of glory. Amen, that's not even a message. You got that for free this morning. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 38. Oh, I feel the Lord here this morning. I hope you do. I want to get your attention this morning. I want your eyes and your focus and your ears and your heart to be on the Son of God this morning. That's what we're here for. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Amen. And hopefully through this scripture, amen, it will touch you as it has me this week. I've been reading on this, and I tell you what, the Lord has just blessed me. Sometimes, and we'll get onto that in a minute, but sometimes in the Bible, we get so used and familiar with the different scriptures that sometimes the little bittiest things could just run off and leave us, and we just not even pay attention to it.
Amen.
But we're going to focus on a little thing this morning.
Yeah.
You might just run right across and not even notice.
Mm-hmm.
So if you got your Bibles, Jeremiah 38, I'm going to read a few verses and we'll see if you noticed it. Bible says in verse 1, then Shephatiah, the son of Mattan, and Gedaliah, the son of Pashur, and Jukal, the son of Shelemiah, and Pashur, the son of Malchiah, heard the words that Jeremiah had spoken unto all the people, saying, thus saith the Lord, he that remaineth in this city shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. But he that goeth forth to the Chaldeans shall live, for he shall have his life for a prey, and shall live. And Jeremiah had been preaching this same message for a pretty good while here the last few chapters. Amen. Nebuchadnezzar and them was going to come invade the city, and they were terrified, and Jeremiah just kept telling them that this was going to happen, and that they was going to be taken away captive. And Jeremiah said, you go with these people and God will preserve your life. If you try to stay and try to fight for the city, you'll die here.
Yeah.
And it didn't make any sense. Let's read on. Verse 3. Thus saith the Lord, this city shall surely be given into the hand of the king of Babylon's army, which shall take it. Therefore the princes said unto the king, and I believe the princes was all those names we just listed in verse 1. They said unto the king, we beseech ye, let this man be put to death, for thus he weakeneth the hands of the men of war that remain in the city, and the hands of all the people in speaking such words unto them. For this man seeketh not the welfare of his people, but the hurt. Then Zedekiah the king said, behold, he is in your hand, for the king is not he that can do anything against you. Then they took Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malchiah, the son of Hamilech. He's one of them that we just mentioned in verse 1. That was in the court of the prison. They let Jeremiah with cords, and in the dungeon there was no water but mire. So Jeremiah sunk in the mire. Now when Abed-Melech, the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs which was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon, the king then sitting in the gate of Benjamin, Abed-Melech went forth out of the king's house and spake to the king, saying, my lord, the king, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah, the prophet, whom they have cast into the dungeon. And he is like to die for hunger in the place where he is, for there is no more bread in the city. Then the king commanded Abed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, take from thence 30 men with thee, and take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he die. So Abed-Melech took the men with him, and went into the house of the king under the treasury, and took thence old cast clouts and rotten rags, and let them down by cords into the dungeon to Jeremiah. And Abed-Melech the Ethiopian said unto Jeremiah, put now these old cast clouts and rotten rags under thine armholes, under the cords. And Jeremiah did so. So they drew up Jeremiah with cords, and took him up out of the dungeon, and Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. That's as far as we're going to read. And amen. Jeremiah, this is a very interesting story that I keep coming back to about Jeremiah and Zedekiah. They have this back and forth a lot. Zedekiah in the previous chapter had asked Jeremiah, is there a word from the Lord? And Jeremiah told him, he said, well, there is, king, for said he, thou shalt be delivered to the hand of the king of Babylon. See, he would say the same message over and over again. And Zedekiah, the king at that time, wanted to know if there's a different word from the Lord. You know, sometimes in the world, people will hear what you have to say, but they want to hear something different, amen? So they'll go back to you and they'll say, hey, give me something different. Give me a new word from the Lord. But there is no new word from the Lord, amen? It's right here. Every bit of it's contained herein. And Zedekiah would listen to Jeremiah and he would have to say the same thing. Oh, there's a word from the Lord, all right. Amen. The Babylonians are coming. Amen. And they're going to take this city over, and those that decide to stand and fight against it, they'll be killed here in the city. But you got to be willing to go away captive, because that's where God's carrying you. A lot of times, places God wants to carry us, it don't make any sense to us. And sometimes we need to be going that way, because if we stand and fight against the Lord, amen, woe be to you that wants to fight against the Lord. He'll win every time, amen.
Yeah.
But there's two words here. There's a little section of scripture here that come to my mind and really caught my attention. And I bet most of you have read over that. But a lot of times the scripture will repeat itself to get your attention.
Right.
You'll read over it the first time and then the scripture will say it again in exactly the same terms to get your attention on it. And that was back in verse 11. It says that Abed-Melech took the men with him and went into the house of the king under the treasury. They went straight to the treasury of the king. And they took thence old cast clouts and old rotten rags, and let them down by cords into the dungeon of Jeremiah. These cords are ropes that they use to let him down and get him back up here just a little bit. And Abed-Melech, the Ethiopian, said to Jeremiah, put now these old cast clouts and rotten rags under thine armholes, under the cords. And Jeremiah did so. And so they drew up Jeremiah with the cords, took him up out of the dungeon, and Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. As far as I know, I've never heard this preached upon before, but these old cast clouts and these rotten rags really stuck with me this week. And I began to think about it, began to visualize in my mind. The cast clouts basically are bandages and are patches They went into the king's treasury, and I don't know how long these napkins or these cloths had stayed in the treasury, but they were in there long enough that they didn't really feel like there was any need for them, so that they had become moth-eaten and rotten, amen. And they decided we're going to use these kind of like to be a little cushion underneath the armpits, the armholes of Jeremiah. They're going to put them, he told them to put them on these ropes as we lay them down to you. Put these on the ropes so you'll have a cushion so that the ropes don't cut into your arms. Jeremiah didn't have that luxury when they let him down into the dungeon. They just used the cords, amen. And they said there was no water there, and so it began to sink in the mire. Now, mire, if I think of mire as kind of like quicksand or very thick mud. Amen. If I was to liken it to a food, it'd probably be kind of like peanut butter. Can you imagine standing waist high in peanut butter? They lay you down there and you begin to sink and you can't get it off of you. It's sticky. It's nasty. You don't want to be having any part of it. And Jeremiah had to stay in that mess. It doesn't say how long as far as I know, but he had to be there quite a while before the Ethiopian Abimelech, the eunuch, had took notice and he had begun to bring his case to the king.
Amen.
The king told him to take 30 men with you. I believe he did that probably as bodyguards because there was these princes. No doubt they might have said something against that or tried to stop him. But Abimelech was on a mission. These old cast clouts and these rotten rags that he used were straight from the king's house. Amen. They were discarded. Nobody thought anything about them. Amen, but they had a purpose to serve. And I begin to think about this, and I begin to think about, like I said at the beginning of this, I want your mind to be on Jesus, the Son of God, throughout this message, because Jesus is for us what these old cast clouds and these old rotten rags were for Jeremiah.
Amen.
You see, Jesus took upon Himself, amen, the sin of mankind. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be all made the righteousness of God in Him. Amen. Jesus, amen. It says in Isaiah 53, very familiar scripture. Even before we get into that, before that, in verse 15 and 52, it says, "Behold, my servant shall deal proudly. He shall be exalted and extolled and very high. And as many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men."
Amen.
Isaiah 53. Verse 3, it says, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not." Verse 2 says, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness, no beauty, that when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him."
Amen.
I begin to think of these old rotten rags. You know how... how it is that Jesus became what He did. He left His home in glory. He put down, He put aside His throne just for a little while to come here to this earth. Amen. To be made like unto the image of mankind, this frail, old, weak body. Amen. And the people of this earth, they saw Him and they despised Him. They rejected Him. They didn't want to have anything to do with Him. They beat Him to where He was unrecognizable. They plucked the hairs from His beard. They whipped Him with many stripes. Amen. But to our eyes, amen, and to the world's eyes, He was nothing but an old, dirty, rotten rag. Amen. But I'm glad He became that for mine and your sake. You see, me and you were in a similar situation to Jeremiah. Amen. The psalmist David said, "I waited patiently for the Lord and inclined unto me, and He heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings." We were all like Jeremiah at one time. We were down in a place where there was no water. Amen. There was no hope. Amen. And all we had to be a part of was this old miry clay. And I don't know about you, but I was sunk deep in it. Amen. Just like Jeremiah, he was there in the middle part of the dungeon, the darkest place that there was, and there was no hope.
Bless you, Lord.
But a man by the name of Abimelech come on by. Thank God a man by the name of Jesus came by to plead our case.
Yeah.
Amen. A man that was the Bible calls our advocate.
Uh-huh. Amen. He came to the king. He came to God. He began to plead our case. And he began to be, he was on a cross and he began to talk about how, Father, it's finished. Amen. And Jeremiah there, he was in the prison. He was in the dungeon. Amen. And Abimelech came by and he said, we're going to get you out of this place. But I need you to do something first. I need you to take this rotten rag, this old dirty cloth that ain't good for nothing. I need you to take this and gird it underneath you so that we can pull you out. Mm-hmm. Many people today in this old world see that and they'll run far from it. They'll despise that. Salvation to them is a rotten rag. Jesus Christ to them is a dirty old clout, a dirty old rotten rag, and they don't want to have anything to do with it. They think in their heart that I want the best. They expected many years ago, thousands of years ago, the Jews did, they expected a king that would rise up and deliver them from the Roman Empire, wearing a crown of jewels and all this splendor. But what we find is the coat that he was riding upon, he went down the streets of Jerusalem on just an old foal. Amen. Just a little old donkey. They didn't expect a king from him. They rejected him as their king.
Amen.
And they even went as far as to say, we have no king but Caesar.
Amen.
Christ is nothing more than a dirty old rag to this world, not realizing that this world's righteousness is as one of these filthy rags.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
I begin to think of that. Man, it just stirred in my heart about the picture of Christ, what He became for us. Amen. What He became on Calvary, He became something that was abominable to mankind. Nobody wanted to have anything to do with Him. The Jews didn't want to have anything to do with Him. They rejected Him as their King, as their Savior. Amen. But the Abimelech says, you're going to have to use these if we're going to get you out of the pit.
Yeah.
What the world don't understand today. Amen. It's that dirty old rag they despised. Christ is what is necessary to be saved out of that miry pit. Amen. He's the thing that's necessary. I begin to think about old Naaman over there in the book of 2 Kings. Naaman was a Syrian guard. He was the captain of the host of the Syrian army. But he said he was a leper. Amen. And he went down to the king of Israel and they wrote a letter to him. They said they wanted him to heal Naaman. And the king of Israel rent his clothes and began to say, am I God that can heal a man? Well, there was a prophet by the name of Elisha. Amen. Over there, he got word of this. And he said to go ahead and send for Naaman. Let him know that there is a prophet of God still living. Amen. And Naaman, they sent to him. And Elisha, he didn't really have these big words to say. He didn't have a big speech. He just said, Naaman, here's what you got to do. Hey, you got to go wash in the River Jordan. And you got to go down there and dip yourself seven times.
Right.
Oh, Naaman won't have nothing of that.
Yeah.
That River Jordan was nothing more than an old cast clout. It was just an old rotten rag. He was a captain of the host. He deserved something better. He began to say, why can't I go down to the rivers of Damascus? Why can't I go to these rivers over there? And why didn't the prophet just say this? Brother Jerry, I thought that he would come out and he would tell me this great thing.
Yeah.
And the servants began to talk to him, the humble servants of Naaman. They said, well, look, my Lord, if he hadn't asked you some great thing, wouldn't you have done that?
Yeah, right.
Naaman took him a 180 degree turn and went back down to Jordan.
Yeah.
He realized there's something he had to do.
That's right.
He realized he's tried everything else. Brother, when you tried everything else, all that's left to try is God.
Yeah.
Amen. Because if you had to try everything else in the first place, then nothing else worked, but God always works.
Yes, amen.
Jesus Christ always, amen, can provide salvation that works, amen.
Yeah.
Naaman come out from the Jordan River. He dipped there seven times. We know those of us that were there or heard it was down there in North Carolina. Amen. One of them asked to be dipped three times in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. She had to do something different, amen, to get a different result. And we've heard already the report of healing because of that.
Yeah.
Amen. She's willing to do something different. To this world it may seem foolish, but God uses the foolish things to confound the wise. He uses the weak things to confound the strong. He uses the dirty, rotten things to provide salvation.
Amen. Preach, brother.
Amen. Naaman got up and he knew something was different. Amen. Said his skin came back to him.
Yeah.
Like that of a baby.
Yeah.
Oh, and he was willing to do anything from that point. I'm telling you what, when you get a good dose of Holy Ghost salvation,
yeah.
Are you willing to walk for the Lord?
Yeah. Yeah.
How when God takes you up and pulls you out of that mire, and you begin to feel freedom for the first time, and you begin to be able to feel your legs move that they couldn't move before.
Yeah.
You might take a good running fit down the aisle, like the man in Acts when he told him, I don't have any silver gold. Silver gold I have none. But such as I have, you might be. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise and walk. The Bible said he stood weeping and went to the temple of God.
That's right, brother.
Praise the Lord.
When you get a dose of salvation, when you get touch from the Lord, first of all, you know it's real. Hey, ain't nothing ever in the world to do you like God does.
Right,
when you start getting a touch with God, you realize ain't nothing this world going to compare with it.
Amen.
And you'll want more of it. Amen. This Naaman, he wanted more of it.
Yeah.
He wanted to do the best he could for the prophets of God, for the house of God. And he offered to give him so much money, so much possessions, that Elijah said he didn't want to take it.
Amen.
Later on, you read where you find his servant Gehazi got greedy.
Yep.
And he went in there to see the Naaman to give him some money. And because of that, Naaman's leprosy was on his house and the rest of his house from forever and ever, it says.
Yep.
But I'm telling you, I'm glad that Jesus Christ became rejected for me that I might be accepted.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. He was despised that I might be loved.
Yeah.
Amen. He became the lowest of low. That I could be exalted, amen, with him in heaven one day after a while.
Yeah.
Amen, but in order to receive that salvation, Jeremiah had to accept that.
Yeah.
He had to accept the old clothes. Boy, when you get in a situation where it's so dark and so bleak, you'll be willing to try anything, amen.
Yeah.
Naaman got mad at first, but he was willing to go back.
That's right.
And dip himself in that Jordan. See, the Jordan, they say it was a muddy waters. It was a dirty place. And you wonder how you can get clean from a dirty source. But I mean, God has ways of doing that. There's an old riddle, an old saying. It talks about how God can take a cow, make him eat green grass and produce white milk and yellow butter and cheese. God can do anything he wants to, amen.
Amen.
Are we willing to do what he wants us to do, though? Are we willing to be obedient? Mm-hmm. Bible says if you be willing to obey, you will eat of the fruit of the land.
Amen.
Man, God will provide for us. Sometimes it looks like old rotten rags. Sometimes it's something that we don't want to do.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. Lord, that don't make any sense. But it just keeps pounding at your heart.
Amen.
Yeah, but that's what you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that's what you need to do. And you know it's God because it will not leave you alone.
Right.
When God wants something done, he'll pound at that heart. That heart will start jumping, bursting out of your chest.
Amen.
Whether it's salvation, whether it's preach the word, whether it's teach Sunday school, whatever it is, God will let you know.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I knew I was called to preach when God wouldn't leave me alone with it.
Yeah.
Not because my daddy was a preacher. Not because I was a PK, a pastor's kid. God dealt with me.
Yeah.
Right.
He dealt with me.
Yeah.
Some people reject it. Some people say, those are rotten rags, I want the best. Not realizing that Christ is and will always be the best.
Amen. That's right.
He was despised. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Why was he not something that was comely? Get this. Why was he not something we want to look upon?
Yeah.
Because he would represent our sin.
Yeah,
even us in our human nature don't want to look upon something so vile as our sin.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Problem is today, people don't have a mirror for their sin.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
If they really knew, just like in Leviticus, I believe it's 14, that sin is just like the leprosy that Naaman had. It deteriorates, it decays, it's horrible. And if they could see a mirror and realize that they were covered in boils and leprous sores, and that was their sin, they'd do anything they could to get it off of them.
Yeah.
Even if it would be except some old rags. I hope you've got something out of the message today. It really stirred my heart this week.
Amen.
Maybe we need to have a different way of looking at things that God has provided for us. He's presented to us. Might seem like nothing that we can really comprehend, but maybe God is pushing us, edging us toward things.
Amen.
And this is the way. You may be saved today, but God can still use things to get you to move in a certain direction.
Yeah.
And so I'd ask that if all that could stand. And
last one.
Old cast clouds. Old rotten rags.
Amen.
That's what Abed-Melech used. He went straight to the king's house. You know, the resources you need is straight out of king's house.
Mm-hmm.
Right out of the where? The treasury.
Yeah. Amen.
Oh, I tell you what. The storehouse of God.
Amen.
Talked about bringing the tithes in the storehouse. That's his treasury. Out of them, the wind is a habit of verse 4.
Yes, amen.
And bring you out a blessing you're not able to contain.
Amen.
Search for the treasure in God's storehouse. You might find nothing but old rotten rags there.
Yeah.
But if that's what it takes, God will use that.
That's right.
You might find nothing but just a couple loaves and a few fish.
Yep.
But God can use that
to
multiply. You might have nothing more than an old rod.
Yep.
But God can use that rod to part the Red Sea of your life.
Right.
Consider taking what God gives you. Because it's not you that makes the increase. It's God that makes the increase.
Amen.
Whatever talent it is, you may be thinking and suppressing. Oh, I can't sing. I can't do this. I'm not a good speaker. I can't talk to people on the phone. God can do it. You just got to place it in His hand. When you place it in His hand, He can mold it. He's the potter. We're the clay. So if you have a need today, I invite you to come.
Amen.
I invite you to talk to the potter.
Yep.
Have him mold you as the clay.
Amen.
Take the miry clay you were born from, you were out of, and let him mold it and make a vessel fit to use.
Amen.
Just a few more minutes.
Amen.
Amen. Think about it today.
Amen.
Is your heart clear with God? Jerry asked that at the end of every service. All hearts clear. Is your heart really clear? Can you walk away today and say, I've got everything I need from the Lord? I'm where He needs me to be. I'm doing His will. Think about it. If not, the invitation is open.
You enjoyed the message.
Amen.
Amen.